Does budget cutting threaten the global economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, world leaders talk global growth and global debt in France. We'll ask whether governments are cutting too much too soon. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 54 points, or about 0.4% at 12,457. The NASDAQ up 0.4% as well, and the S&P 500 up 0.5% right now. Neiman Marcus said this morning its profit more than doubled to $46 million last quarter. It is just the latest upscale chain to report strong earnings following Saks and Tiffany's. Now let's get to the G8 meeting, which is wrapping up in France. In a statement this morning, leaders said rising commodity prices are a threat to the global recovery, but they said they remain focused on shoring up the sustainability of public finances. In other words, getting the debt situation under control. Let's bring in Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, who's with us live every Friday from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, as we look at this dichotomy of a fragile economic recovery and a need to deal with the debt, I want to focus on the U.S., first of all. Given all the data we've gotten this week, how fragile is our recovery right now?
Well, it's pretty clear things are slowing down in the second quarter. Since the middle of April, we've had an increase in the number of people filing for unemployment insurance that has completely reversed the whole decline that took place in the first quarter. Mm. And then we also have a bunch of regional Fed banks telling us that manufacturing is slowing down around the country, too.
So things are slowing down. Is there any chance that Washington looks at that and says, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be cutting so quickly?
No, I don't think so. And actually, the news this week out of Washington is that the Biden Commission on the Deficit is pretty close to striking a deal which is going to cut spending and or raise taxes $3 to $6 trillion over the next 10 years. So, in fact, the government's moving in the opposite direction, away from stimulus.
Well, should we be worried about that in terms of our economic recovery?
Well, we always reach this point in the recovery where the government has to step back. It can't keep increasing spending forever. And we always worry, but it usually turns out okay. And I think the reason it'll turn out okay this time is that the U.S. economy is, of course, a consumer-driven economy. The slowdown is coming now mostly because gas prices are high, and we will get some price relief later in the year because of the austerity that's taking place everywhere else in the world.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, to Belgrade now, where war crime suspect Ratko Mladic was in court today. He's accused of directing the massacre of 8,000 Muslims in 1995. He was arrested yesterday, and today a judge says he is fit to be extradited to a UN war crimes tribunal. Some observers say this clears the path towards Serbia joining the EU and becoming a more established member of the global financial community. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
The arrest of Ratko Mladic was a precondition for Serbia joining the EU. There are others, among them a long list of political and economic reforms the country must carry out. But the capture of Mladic was the big one, the last major obstacle on the road to membership. Joining would mean a great deal to Serbia. It would bring in public funds worth billions from the EU. And, says Dragana Ignjatovic of IHS Global Insight, it would also send an important signal to foreign investors.
Serbia has been a pariah in Europe for a better part of two decades. And being a member of the EU would bring increased investment. It would signal that Serbia is a safe, desirable investment destination.
But years of negotiations still lie ahead. In spite of the arrest of Mladic, it could be almost a decade before Serbia is allowed to join the EU. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Well, after the Miami Heat's last-minute victory over the Chicago Bulls last night, the Heat will face the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals next week. But Miami's star player LeBron James is not getting the nationwide love you might expect, and it's all about his brand, as Phil Latzman reports now from Miami.
Since bolting Cleveland to bring his talents to South Beach last year, LeBron hasn't done himself any favors, at least according to sports marketing executive Brandon Steiner.
Absolutely not. I mean, he's flat.
Even with the Heat's success, Steiner believes King James's crown has lost much of its luster.
You know, he has a few sponsors that have stuck with him, and Nike is notorious for staying with their players. They're very loyal, but, you know, I don't think that they are having a banner year with LeBron.
But there are signs that the LeBron brand is doing just fine. His number 6 Miami Heat jersey recently overtook Kobe Bryant's as the top-selling in the NBA. Still, though, it seems everyone outside of South Florida is rooting against the Heat because of LeBron. And Steiner says winning won't cure the ill feelings right away.
The question is, how do you settle up with the fans and get people to like you again? And does that even matter to him? Or do you play the villain role and be the bad boy?
Steiner says, unlike some infamous athletes before him, James hasn't committed any crimes and has plenty of time to get back in the good graces of both fans and sponsors. In Miami, I'm Phil Latzman for Marketplace.
And finally to Oregon, where lawmakers have had enough of gift cards with just a few dollars left on them. I mean, what are you supposed to buy with a gift card from Best Buy that has $2.08 on it? Gum? So the Oregon House has voted to allow consumers to trade in their gift cards with less than $5 remaining on them for cash. The lawmaker behind the legislation says just in Oregon, unredeemed cards account for $100 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.